Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hi, this is Moody. I'm one of your dive guides on the Grand Sea Explorer. You are listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Now he's my close personal friend because he picked me to say this. Greg the Dive Master.
All the diving sites one assumes the Red Sea is a place to get below. Just one fin kick
away.
Why we love it on Scuba Radio. All the day dive boats will make you smile. They share the same site, but don't you fret. The live aboard lifestyle.
Away.
Home, you watch the sunset. Diving times without any gripes, eh?
We listen to Scuba Radio.
You have a real talent.
Dive like an Egyptian.
I don't know what it is, but it certainly isn't singing.
Dive like an Egyptian.
I'm not sure you even hit a single note.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I had to reflect on a warm place to dive. Like in Egypt or the Red Sea, because I'm talking at the opposite end of the spectrum with Dan Orr right now, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. He just got back from Antarctica and doing a big cruise adventure, you know, about a two-week expedition. And water temp on the high side, 32 degrees. Wow. And he just told me during the commercial break, you know, I said, wow, shrinkage. I just can't get it out of my head. And he goes, actually how we judge the temperature, we just hold our fingers up and you do it visually. How cold is it? It's this small. I love it. That's why I love Dan Orr. He's one of a kind. So you take these people up there, you're diving around the ice shelves in Antarctica. I mean, and you have snorkelers too on this. You go that far and people would just snorkel, really?
Yeah, there are people. For one thing, we're very strict about the qualifications for people that are going to dive there. They have to have at least 30 dry suit dives. They've got to have experience in cold water diving. They've got to be very experienced divers anyway, because the conditions are very, very challenging, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
And then there are people who either haven't fulfilled those qualifications or simply want to get in the water, and we can put them in a dry suit and they can snorkel. And so, as I mentioned before, we had at least 27 snorkelers. And in my opinion, in some cases, snorkeling is better than diving there, because snorkelers stay in the relatively shallow water. That's where the penguins are going in and out. That's where the seals are going in and out.
Right.
And so a lot of people, especially some of the professional photographers, were spending time in the very shallow water photographing and videoing the penguins and the seals.
About that. And as far as the way you do the dives, you're on a like a liveaboard, 300-foot liveaboard, you said, pretty much, right? Or
yes.
That's actually more cruise ship type size, I would imagine. But are you taking little dinghies out with the divers? Or are you guys diving off the main ship and it just gets as close to the ice shelf as it can, or what?
Zodiacs. So they have a number of different Zodiacs, and they'll put up to 6 divers in a Zodiac, and they'll put up to 8 snorkelers in a Zodiac. And then what we do is they decide where they're going to go in the morning, depending upon the conditions and the location. And there are a lot of times when it's really ice-free. I mean, we've been diving in areas where there's no ice at all, because that is the Antarctic summertime. So the air temperatures are generally in the 20s or even in the low 30s. But we had absolutely perfect conditions on this trip. We had sunny days almost every single day. We had very little wind, especially when we're in the Antarctic Peninsula, and the conditions were just about perfect.
Okay. See, I have this mental image of Superman's Fortress of Solitude, but you just said there's some of the dives that aren't ice. So what you got, a reef shelf, or I mean, what is there to dive around?
Rock shelves.
Yeah.
We have walls. They have some. Actually, there's one area that was a pinnacle that came up to within about 30 or 40 feet of the surface. There is a shipwreck there we dive on called the Governor Norrin, which caught fire in 1915. It was a whaling ship. Caught fire in 1915. Allegedly, it caught fire during a celebration at the end of the whaling season. And what they say, allegedly, someone kicked over a lamp, caught the ship on fire. They ran it aground to save the whatever whale they could and the passengers and crew. And so the bow is actually sitting out of the water. The stern is down about 60 feet.
Wow. Now, you mentioned penguins. You had a lot of those. I mean, are we talking polar bears, whales, sea lions? What kind of critters do you see?
You'll only see polar bears in the Antarctic in a Coca-Cola commercial.
Okay.
Right. There are no polar bears there. But they do have apex predators. They do have killer whales.
Yeah.
They do have leopard seals. Leopard seals can be 8 or 9 feet long or 10 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw quite a few of those, some in the water, most often on ice floes.
Yeah.
We did see some killer whales that swam by the ship one day, and then we're off in the distance very quickly. Saw a lot of humpback whales. We saw minke whales, a number of 4 different kinds of penguins, including an emperor penguin, which is very rare this time of the year in the Antarctic where we were in the peninsula.
Yeah. Did you see them while you were diving or what?
What they do is they not only provide diving opportunities and snorkeling opportunities, but there are some people who just want to cruise the shoreline or go on the shore. To be able to, for one thing, say they've been on the continent.
Right.
So we do a lot of landings. We do a lot of cruises along the shore. At a couple of areas where there were a lot of whale activities, we took the Zodiacs out into the bay and followed some of the whales, not getting too close to them, of course. Mm-hmm. And so we provide a variety of different activities for people who are diving and non-diving.
I would imagine the marine life is not used to seeing divers. So are they a little bit more sketchy, or are they a little more like, we're not bothered by these divers? Or how would you describe it? You notice any kind of different compared to different parts of the world, or no?
They generally don't fear us like a lot of other places.
Right.
For example, it's not uncommon when you're on the shore, especially for penguins that come up to you. We're told to stay a certain distance away from penguins, but the penguins don't know that. And so sometimes they'll come up close. So we try to not get that close to them, but they're very curious. They don't know really what we are.
Right.
I think we're some sort of really ugly seal or something.
Pretty accurate description, actually.
Yeah. They really don't know. And then the same thing, 2 years ago, when we were in the Antarctic the last time, we actually had 2 leopard seals that were on an ice floe, around an ice floe, and we had about a dozen or so divers and snorkelers right around the ice floe with these leopard seals, and they were swimming in and around the divers and the snorkelers.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Are the leopard seals known to be a little bit more aggressive? You alluded to that earlier.
They can be.
Territorial, kind of, maybe, kind of thing. Is that it?
We've never had any problems with them, but they tend to be, because they're big. I mean, they're up to 10 feet long or even longer.
If they wanted to put a hurting on them, they could.
They definitely could.
And you've done it several times now, huh?
Yeah, this is my 4th trip up there or down there. This is Betty's 3rd trip down there. And of course, we are there to help with whatever kind of logistics. But the last couple of times have been citizen science expeditions where we have image makers on board who take photographs of the marine life, because one of the researchers is very interested in what is called sea star wasting syndrome, where they catch some sort of disease and the sea stars literally just deteriorate. And that's Dr. Amy Moran. And then we had image makers like Marty Schneiderman, Christian Demetrius, Becky Kagan-Schott, and we had Stephen Lopez and Carmen Obiad, and we had a number of other people who were there who were really world-class photographers and videographers.
And Dan and Betty Orr. That's a treat in itself to be able to spend quality time with some high-quality dive industry legends like that. Good stuff. And the website for a trip like that is bluegreenexpeditions.com.
www.bluegreenexpeditions.com.
Dan Orr, thank you so much, buddy. Good catching up, and you have a great day and stay warm.
Okay, take care.
And we got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to dive.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explorer Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explorer Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save a St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explorer Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.